Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Joe.
Hi, everybody. Did you miss us? It's only been a week.
Oh, I know.
Joseph Dean, week. I need to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
How was your vacation?
It was all right. It was all right.
I was there, so.
Yeah. Flew a helicopter over the bay.
Oh, my gosh.
As you guys saw, if you pay attention to my Facebook page.
So
see that we took a helicopter ride.
Joe and my older sister Dee went on a helicopter ride over the bay in Mackinac, right? No, St. Ignace.
St. Ignace, yeah.
I couldn't do it.
I think you could if you were in the front seat.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't have a choice, right? It's like going on a roller coaster and you're just strapped in and there's nothing else you can do.
But it was cool. There was no doors on it and he banked it one way and he banked the other way, but you didn't feel like you're going to fall out.
I would have barfed.
But it was cool because we got to look at the bay and it made me think about there's shipwrecks down there.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't think to look for the shipwrecks.
I'm telling you. So, you know, we went up to St. Marie where they held Michigan Paracon and St. Ignace, which is in the UP. If you guys don't know, I'm sorry. My birds are just chirping away. They only chirp when we start to podcast. And they're crazy birds. So I was just so amazed how clear and blue the water is. It's like looking at water from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Joe, my sister Dee, and me and I walked around. So if you go the island of Mackinac, so you have to take a boat over there. We took a pirate ship.
Oh, that's a whole other story.
Oh my gosh. We go over there and so we're gonna walk. The outside of the island is this like ring where you can ride your bike, so you can walk, and it's like how many miles, Joe?
It's 8 miles around.
Okay.
It's the only state route in the whole country that does not have cars on it.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool. So we started walking because we wanted to see this thing called the Arch Rock. Arch Rock. Just this giant natural arch. And it's probably what? We went about a mile. Joe's wearing his pirate eye patch that we got on the pirate ship from the pirate. So we're walking. And the path is probably what, about 10 feet wide?
Yeah.
And then there's a little like grassy spot, and then there's like giant boulders they put up, you know, the barrier from the water. That water was so blue. It was like turquoise and every shade of blue you could see. And it was so beautiful. It reminded me of like the Bermuda Triangle type water. Like it was clear. You could see to the bottom. It was amazing.
Yeah. And
no sharks.
No sharks.
And no salt.
But we got to see the drowning pool on Mackinac Island finally, where they had the witch trials. And that was really cool that there's no signs to tell you where, because I don't think they want anybody to actually know where it's at. Right. But looking at all the pictures from history and all that, we're like, this is it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a little, I don't know, lagoon type thing. It's between the hotel, and then there's like this kind of like a mini golf course, but it's more like a real golf course type golf course.
It's weird. It's like a maybe a par two golf course or something. It's really it's like a putt-putt, but it's big.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And then there's like a walking path, and then there's like this lagoon part, and then there's gravel and rocks, and then you go, and then there's the lake.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this like contained water spot, and it was weird because it was so like it was like dark brown.
Yeah, it didn't match the water at all.
Mm-mm.
It was dark, and it's, I mean, there were weeds around and stuff, so it's like they didn't want anybody to know that that's the actual spot, and it's deep.
And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, go back to our previous show where we talked about the witch trials. Little do we know, and we brought to you that, you know, there were witch trials that happened in Michigan and Ohio back in the very early, probably 1700s.
On Mackinac Island.
So I did take my phone and did some recording out there. Haven't listened to it yet. I've got to do that. I just haven't had time. I'm curious to see if I picked up on anything.
Yeah, being the ghost hunters that we are, we get on the boat, and I'm like, I didn't bring any equipment. Once again, I forgot to bring the ghost hunting equipment.
I know. We left it in the suitcases. But we were just, you know, you get up there and there's so much to see. Like, yeah. There's the you know, haunted cemetery in the middle of the island. Mm-hmm. There's the fort, which we did walk up to the fort up this giant hill.
Yeah.
That's like, was so, the grade was so steep. And I was like, I'm fat. I can't walk up this hill. We made it. And then we didn't go in the fort because it was like $13 to get in.
It was ridiculous. And all it is, you walk in there and there's just a couple buildings and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, nah.
No, if we were in there at night by ourselves, I'd pay $13.
That'd be different. Yeah, because we'd be actually doing an investigation.
Yeah. So.
Because it's very haunted.
Yeah.
You know, just like anything else with war and all that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of spots on Mackinac and St. Ignace that are haunted. Now, we're going to talk to Brad from the Michigan Paracon. He's the person that actually puts the show on. But he ended up having to work, so we couldn't do it. But we'll catch up with him later. We'll do a call-in interview with him. And
yeah.
But we went to the casino where the convention is held, and it was just so bizarre to be there and no one is there.
What was strange? Okay, so Joe and I, you know, we've gone there, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
3-4 years. And it's always just so teeming with life, and there's a ton of people, and not just paranormal people, like people go to the casino and stuff. So I had a free night stay, and I was like, Joe, I got a free night stay. So me and sister and Joe, we all piled in, and there was nobody in there.
Nobody.
I went into the casino part, and there was nobody.
Yeah.
Except for the workers.
Bizarre.
I thought, like, it was closed and I shouldn't have been in there. That's how weird it felt. I was like, there's nobody in here.
Yeah.
And I still played my little slot machines.
But, you know, we go to the convention there and you don't think about hauntings at this casino because it's relatively brand new. I mean, it's probably 20 years old, but it's upkept to where even the hotel half of it is like new. So no one was there. So I was just talking to the guy at the door.
Yeah, he was, you know, have they scan you, your temperature.
Zap my brain.
Zap my brain.
And he talked about this room up by where we go to the convention. He said, go up there. And I should have done it. But he said, go up there. There's two doors. One's a service hallway. He says, go into the service hallway. And he says, you'll get an eerie feeling and you'll probably see a ghost. Because every time people are in there, they see a ghost in that hallway. But I didn't go in that hallway because it's a casino. There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you could just said, I got lost. I was looking for the pool.
Yeah. So when we go back for the convention, I know the guy. I know who he's related to now. And I'm going to hook up with this guy, and he's going to show me the hallway of doom.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because one, it's Native American owned.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of Native American artifacts in there. It's probably on reservation land.
Well, it is. That's what how they can build it.
Oh, blonde moment, even though I'm not blonde anymore. My roots are growing out. It's a hotel, so you're going to have some kind of, there's always something.
Oh,
you know, somebody dying in a hotel at some point, you know, whether it's natural.
Unnatural. Yeah. It happens. Every hotel had suicides.
Yeah. Yeah. People check in to check out, right? And, you know, having the paranormal convention there every year, you have all of these people who probably have spirits attached to them or following them coming in, and they probably are just like, oh, well, I guess I'll just stay and watch people play slot machines for eternity.
Mm-hmm. And everybody that goes to the convention are major hitters in the paranormal community. So they've been to all of these extremely haunted locations, and they may have brought someone back to the hotel with them. Or it's a spirit that's been there forever. Who knows?
Who knows? It doesn't know. But there's, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. But in Sault Ste. Marie, you have the Camp Verde or Camp Verde ship, which is extremely haunted. Mm-hmm. You've got Antlers is haunted, I believe.
Yeah.
Bunch of places right in the area that's
haunted. And don't forget the Tower of History.
The Tower of History has to be haunted. Has to be haunted because it's the Tower of History. Yeah. Which I've never been in, and I don't know if I'm going to be in there.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
before we get to our show topic.
Which we should.
I am so excited and happy that I got to get my firecrackers from the Palace Saloon and Restaurant.
Which is also haunted.
It was the best damn thing I ever ate in my life, and I cannot wait to go back and get some more.
All right. So, Jen.
Joseph.
Have you ever thought that you were dead?
Many times. Actually, right now, I feel like The Walking Dead. I just feel like I'm existing and not living, and I'm very tired, and I have a tummy ache.
Oh.
But I didn't think I was a corpse.
Yeah.
I look like one.
There are people that actually either wake up or just instantly think that they're dead, or they don't have any guts in their body. And you think, oh, that's crazy, but it's a real thing.
Did you hear the story about the woman who woke up in the funeral home in Detroit?
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah, they thought she was dead. And I thought about that too. Okay, think about how much time passes from being, you know, saying that you're dead to the time that you're in a casket in the funeral home.
Well, I mean, she was just like in the morgue. Haven't got to that part yet, but...
Because I was like, did they embalm her?
They were just about to. They were about to stick the needle in in her arm, and she breathed.
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine what the mortician thought? They probably pooped their pants.
Yeah. I wonder if that happens.
So did that girl feel like she was a corpse?
I'd like to know, did she have a near-death experience? Did she... That'd be very interesting to find out.
Yeah, I don't know if she... I don't want to say this if it's wrong, but I think she might have been mentally challenged.
Okay.
And maybe she wasn't communicative. I don't know. But still, I mean, I can't imagine walking around every day and feeling like you are a corpse.
Yeah, it happens. It's called Cotard Syndrome. And I actually watched a video about it. I was watching Ask the Mortician, and she talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so interesting. I mean, I've never heard of this. And I'm like, I don't know if it relates to the paranormal, but it is a very paranormal thing to happen, that you actually think that you are dead. And hanging out at cemeteries and stuff, like the gentleman that you have a story here in a minute. But either they completely think they're dead, or they think that they have no guts or bones or anything inside their body, even though it's obvious that they're not dead and they have bones and but they don't eat, they don't drink, and they lay in bed a lot because they say they're dead.
Is that different than being a zombie? Like, do zombies know they're zombies? These people realize they're alive, right? But they just feel like a corpse?
No, actually, they say that they're dead.
Oh.
They actually walk around and say that they're dead. So... I don't know. Researchers aren't sure what causes it, Cotard syndrome. Mm-hmm. There are a few possible risk factors of getting it. Or several studies have indicated that the average rate of people with Cotard syndrome is about 50.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah, that's the age. I don't know if I said that the average age. But
oh, I thought you meant 50 people.
No, I'm sorry. The average age of
it is
50.
I'm about to turn 50.
Yeah, see? As soon as you turn 50, you're going to feel dead, Jen.
I already do. I want to feel alive.
The thing is, people under the age of 25 with Cotard disillusion or disorder tend also to have bipolar depression. Women also seem to be more likely to develop Cotard syndrome.
Hello.
Some of the factors that kind of are included in this, like I said, is bipolar. It's potassium depression.
Oh, okay.
Or postpartum. Oh. Postpartum depression. But like I said, a lot of it is like bipolar disorder, a lot of depression. You have depressions and that. But it's also a physical thing. Now, they did a study of people with Cotard syndrome where they actually did brainwave studies and found that one of the gentlemen that had Cotard syndrome, his frontal cortex of his brain, the front part, it had the activity of someone in a coma.
Oh.
Okay. But yet he was up walking around and normal. So it is a brain disorder, whether it's caused by a chemical imbalance or something. Mm-hmm. But the main part of where it comes from is if you in the back of the head, in the brain, there's a section that is used to recognize faces and stuff. And when you see smoke and you see a face in the smoke and you put it on Facebook and you circle it with a big red circle, or
it's a ghost.
You see some wood and you see a demon in the wood and you put it on Facebook and you circle it with a big red circle. But that's part of your brain that does that. And for some reason, people are either injured or something causes this. And they just feel that they're walking corpses. And it's called walking corpse syndrome.
I wonder if when they look in the mirror, if they see the skull instead of their face.
That I don't know.
No, well, there's a gentleman who has this syndrome. They say it's a rare mental illness. It's called the walking corpse syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has lived with this for 9 years, and he makes frequent visits to his local cemetery because he said it's the closest I could come to death, and he thought he would fit in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, is it these people suicidal?
Well, I mean, it's all part of that, too, the depression and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, other things that could cause it, though, are like the infections, brain tumors, dementia, epilepsy, migraines. So it all, and Parkinson's is a big one too. People with Parkinson's, it's a big part of that where they have catarrh syndrome, where they actually think they're dead.
So it was first described and named after the French neurologist Jules Guettard in 1880. He had a patient, which he named Mademoiselle X.
Mademoiselle X. You are Mademoiselle X.
And she claimed that she was missing several body parts, her organs, her brain, her chest, her stomach, her intestines. She believed she was eternally damned. Given that she denied having innards, she had no need to eat, and she died of starvation.
Yeah.
He said that given the condition and the form of delusion associated with severe depression, it triggered this catarrh syndrome. I don't know.
There was a woman that...
That's sad.
In the 1800s that came down with it. She woke up and she said she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually made her family put her in a coffin. Okay. Or it would be a casket back then. But, the toe squeezer casket.
Yeah.
She made them put her in this coffin, and it was funny because it said in the article that she dressed in the funeral clothing, just like as if she was really dead, laying in this. And the family was like, "You're not dead." And she's like, "Yes, I'm dead." And so they put her in the casket, put her in the clothing, and she got up and complained because the clothing wasn't white enough. And finally it went away.
Yeah.
And she started eating again, and she, was not really cured because you're never cured of it. And there's actually times where people will have this and it'll come and go. So one day they'll feel like they're dead,
mm-hmm.
and then the next day they'll feel fine. But it's not a sense of, oh, today I feel like I'm dead. No, they actually 100% mm-hmm. believe that they're dead.
Wow.
Or they don't have innards, and that's why they don't eat, and then they die because they don't eat.
Now, the gentleman I was talking about earlier who had lived with it for 9 years, he struggled with depression. And after 8 months of attempting to commit suicide, he finally committed suicide. He threw an electrical appliance in the bathtub while he was in there.
Oh.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Now you're really dead, dude.
That's it.
You know?
Now,
you wonder if once these people actually pass on, if they have regret.
I would imagine they would. But the thing is, you got to remember also that in their minds, they're truly dead, and they're just walking this earth as
corpses.
But it's not just in the 1800s. I mean, this still happens till today. I know in 2008, New York psychologists reported a 53-year-old patient, Miss Lee, who complained that she was dead and smelled like rotten flesh. She asked her family to take her to the morgue so that she could be with other dead people. They dialed 911 instead. Mrs. Lee admitted to the psychiatric unit, where she accused paramedics of trying to burn her house down. After about a month, though, she was released from the hospital on a drug regimen, which actually really helped her and really improved her symptoms. Now, I don't know if she ever reoccurred or not, But in this article, it doesn't say that if she did or not.
And it's highly likely she probably would have, because a lot of times when you're taking any type of depression mm-hmm. or bipolar medicine, your body gets so used to it that it doesn't have the effect anymore. And then you have to try something new, mm-hmm. and then you start the process all over again.
Or if you're a rapid responder mm-hmm. or a poor responder, the medicine will work a lot different in your body. And your body can even reject the medicine, which makes you more crazy and think you're dead even more.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple different stages of this syndrome. So they say that the syndrome has different, varieties, but it can vary by severe to mild.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study in 1999 that they believe that this has three stages to it. So germination, blooming, and chronic.
Okay.
The germination stage is marked by hypochondriacs.
Okay.
Actress or health anxiety, severe depression. They may go to the doctor with like kind of vague complaints. There was a 28-year-old housewife who the researchers, her case was basically, you know, she was complaining that her liver was putrefying or decaying and that her heart was altogether absent. Before seeking help, she had developed loss of sleep, feeling of loneliness, which are said to have progressed to her losing interest in her surroundings, daily household work. This sounds exactly like me. Both classic signs of depression. So, you know, the third stage is blooming, where it just keeps developing, like the symptoms are intensified, people are physically feeling dead. They're reaching out to people and just saying, I'm dead.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have this. And then chronic is where it continues and there's no help for it. You just can't get the psychological medical help to cure it. And then most of those patients do end up either passing away or being put in mental institutions.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I wonder about. You know, we talk a lot about mental institutions and the treatment of these patients at Waverly and all those. How do we know that some of these patients didn't have this and they just threw them in there, which made them feel even more dead? And if they physically did die, is their spirit still there because they already thought they were dead and they're in the place and they get used to being there?
Right.
So in 1996, there was a Scottish man who suffered a motorcycle accident and began to believe that he had died from complications during his recovery. Not long after his recovery, though, he moved in with his mother in South Africa. And the heat was so intense down there that he explained to doctors and confirmed his beliefs that he actually died. And it was so hot there because he was in hell.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, there was another story, and this is a recent one.
Mm-hmm.
2012, Japanese doctors described a 69-year-old patient who declared to one of the doctors, I guess I'm dead. I'd like to ask for your opinion. When that doctor asked him whether the dead man could speak, the patient recognized that his condition defied logic, but could not shake him of the conviction that he was deceased. A year had passed, and then his delusion passed, but he insisted on the truth of what had happened during it. He said, now that I'm alive, but once I was dead at that time. And he also believed that Kim Jong-il was also a patient in the same hospital.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was a Greek doctors also treated a 78-year-old woman who went to the ER claiming all of her organs melted. Only her skin had remained, and she was particularly dead. She was admitted to the hospital. Her outcome was not reported. So did she get back her organs?
They could have. This sounds weird, but, you know, maybe they could pretend like they put them back in so she would think that, I got new ones. Because, I mean, if they're mentally delusional enough to think that they're dead, you know, you could, like, some people remember, like, when you would see those preachers on TV mm-hmm. who would do the fake surgeries and pull stuff, fake stuff out of the, and then the people think they're healed and they get up and they're like whooping and holler, like, I'm healed. You know, why couldn't it be like that where they mentally trick them, which I don't know if that's like, what would you call it? ethical.
I was just going to say ethical.
I couldn't think of the word. I was having a brain fart because I'm roasting. It's 800 degrees. I'm having a hot flash. If that would be ethical, but if it helps the person,
yeah,
you would think that it would be worth a try.
Yeah.
You know, like to calm their spirit, mm-hmm. you know. There was another case in 2005. There was an Iranian doctor who described what may be the most unusual case recorded. So there was a 32-year-old man who had come to their hospital. He was saying that he was not only dead, but he had been turned into a dog.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard this one.
He said that his wife had suffered the same fate. His three daughters, he believed, also had died and turned into sheep, and that his relatives had tried to poison him, but that nothing could hurt him because God protected him even in death. He was diagnosed with catarrhs and clinical lycanthropy. Okay, lycanthropy. You can leave all that in.
Okay.
And treated with electroconvulsive therapy and relieved most of his major symptoms. Yeah, no, shock therapy.
And that's why one of the things, too, we talk about Waverly Hills and all the patients, shock therapy back then was like the go-to thing besides lobotomies. And it just makes me wonder how many people in these insane asylums just had this disease and could be treated as a disease, but instead they're put in there. And like I said, they already thought they were dead. They're familiar with their surroundings. Mm-hmm. So when they do die, their spirit doesn't leave.
Yeah.
And becomes the ghost that we go and tell to talk.
Did you just notice the light flickered?
Yeah.
Because right before that happened, the shadow went behind you.
Oh, okay. I wonder why you're taking pictures of me.
I know. I was like.
I do have my ghost biker shirt on.
Joe has his awesome ghost biker explorations.
I got to run down to Cincinnati, Ohio on Sunday and see Miranda. She was having an event down there at a Harley dealership. And she was talking about her adventures of riding around to these haunted locations and the things that she does. But I got to stop on the way there at the Miamisburg Mound.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually walked to the top of it. Mm-hmm. And I got about halfway up and I just felt weird.
Oh.
Like real wheezy. Real.
Yeah. How tall was the mound?
It's 780 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
But it's like 770 feet now because they actually dug the top of it off.
Are you supposed to be walking on it?
You know, I was thinking about that when I was there, too. They have the stairs, and then remember they used to have the fence around it? But now there's no fence up there. It's just benches.
Oh.
Okay. So I got the weirdest feeling. So I went all the way to the top. And when I got to the top, I felt like I was going to fall off. And I'm not scared of heights.
Right.
I'm scared of edges, like if I went to the edge of a building.
Yeah.
But
who isn't, right?
Yeah.
Like
but when I was on top of there, I just felt so much dread and just the weirdest feeling.
Mm.
And of course, being the ghost hunter that I am, I didn't have any equipment with me. So I was going to actually do like an EVP session,
mm-hmm.
but some people came up and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that while they're up here.
Yeah.
You know, why ruin their day by doing my ghosty stuff? But it was so weird because I was up on top of this thing and just felt so weird. I felt like I was going to fall off of it.
Wow.
And
you would have just rolled down the side, right?
Oh, yeah, 800 feet. But yeah, I got to go up and Miranda had a great event. And I got to see the mound, but it all goes back to, like I was saying, I wonder how many spirits had this or some other disorder like this and got used to their location and become a residual haunting.
We'll have to do some experiments when we do go to some of these places and ask them if they had felt dead before they died.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something new to add to our arsenal of questions and that. And one last thing.
These poor spirits.
Yeah.
Here's
our list of questions. Did you feel dead before you were dead? Did you rock before you rocked? There's another disorder, and it's not really what we're talking about, but it's kind of the same thing. But it's a 20-letter word.
Oh, here we go. Here we go with the pronunciation.
Somatoparafarmria, or something like that. Somatopararia. 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 Yeah. I'm not even going to read this word.
Just spell it for
us. Okay, here we go. Ready, folks? Right. Write this down.
Okay.
It's Somatoparania.
Yes. You'll never see that on Wheel of Fortune. Maybe Jeopardy.
So anyhow, what this disorder is you actually don't feel like you have a arm or leg.
Oh.
You completely take disownership of your arm or leg. It's usually the left side.
Oh, why the left side?
I don't know.
It has something to do with the brain?
It's obviously something to do with the brain.
I wonder if that leads to the people who like want to have their legs cut off.
Exactly.
Or arm cut off.
Yeah, they don't take ownership of their arms or legs.
You're dead to me, left arm.
Left arm, you're dead to me. Don't ever talk to me again, arm.
What?
But it's a disorder of the cerebral regions of the cortex.
Thank God I wasn't trying to say that one.
Yeah. So it's sort of like this Cotard syndrome, but you actually
disassociate with your body parts. Mm-hmm. I want to get rid of this booty. It doesn't exist.
Yes, I don't take ownership of my booty. And neither does anybody else.
Oh, you heard it first here, baby. Oh, God.
So,
we're not making light of anybody's situation if you're suffering from this.
Yes, and I know it's not really paranormal, but it can lead to paranormal things, like you said, with the people that were in the insane asylums because of this. Because this has been around. I mean, we mentioned a few ones that happened just now, but lights it's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Sorry, lights just flickered again. Yeah. I don't have the air conditioning on or anything.
Okay.
It's just very bizarre. I think the spirits are drawing some energy.
Listen every for time EVPs.
Every time we podcast in my house, I'm telling you, like, weird stuff is happening. If you guys get a chance, definitely like let us know if you know anybody who's had this
or mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it on our Facebook page. Not, you don't have to call them out. Don't blast them out.
Call them Mr. X and Mrs. X.
Yeah. And just let us know your stories. Cause I think
Turd Ferguson, just name him Turd Ferguson.
The Ferd. If you guys don't know, my nickname is The Ferd.
Oh.
Ferd. That was what they called me growing up. Still call me. 49 years old and they still call me that. I love it. But get up on our Facebook page and, you know, share us the show. I've been trying to post the shows regularly on there. Also, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, I post all the shows on our Twitter page. And you can share those with all your Twitter fans. Twitter. Just sounds fun to say that. You can tweet it. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
And so don't forget, we also have our website.
We have our website and we have t-shirts on our website for sale. And a few people have bought them.
Yay!
Thank you.
Appreciate the support.
I think they're cool. They're good shirts.
Yeah, they're fun. They're really cute.
Sasquatch and
Shashiwash. We didn't see Bigfoot at all in the UP.
No.
Well, we did.
We saw Bigfoot country. I tell you what. Now I understand why people can see Bigfoot up there because it is so thick of trees.
The forest is so dense. And it gets dark out there too. Like if you go out in the country just a little bit outside, and you know, don't have to go too far up there.
No, you don't.
To be in the country. You can see every star in the sky. It's so awesome.
And look for UFOs.
Yes, yes. Hopefully we'll be back at Michigan Paracon next year. And
we will be.
Andrea Pirone can call the UFOs. She always goes out.
She sings them.
And she sings to them.
Yeah.
And they come and call in. Also, you know, hopefully if you guys are traveling this summer into fall, you know, it's a really awesome place. There's so many cool haunted places up there and just places to discover. And it's so beautiful and calming up there. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can sit by the water and just listen to the water splash.
But it's worth the time up to actually drive up there. It's a long drive. It's like 5 hours, 6 hours from the Michigan line.
Well, the way my sister drove it was about 4 hours. She had the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the back seat having anxiety the entire 4 or 5 hours. Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
But it's a good place if you want to go to some good haunted locations off the beaten path that have history. You know, do your research. Get a hold of the people up there, you know, different organizations.
Local teams, paranormal teams. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'd be happy to, like, come out and do a collaboration.
Yeah. Hmm. But anyhow, like we said, please, please, please share the show with your friends. Get up on our website, buy some t-shirts, and just have a great time listening to our show and enjoy it. You know, I mean, that's why we put it out, so that we can bring you some entertainment.
We are your entertainment
hosts
with the most. Joe's the concierge of entertainment.
I'm a paratorkologist. But anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to leave you with a little bit of 60-second crush. So
talk to you.
All right, goodbye.